All right, we were in the middle of a discussion yesterday about Shum Kesef. I'd like just to learn the first piece of Gemara first, because once we start talking about it again, it's Svarim Aruchim, and we're not going to get to the Gemara. So let's first see the small piece of Gemara, and then we'll try to pick up on our discussion from yesterday. Gemara says, "My Shum Kesef." Amar Yehuda Shum Zeh Lo Yehei Ela B'Kesef. Rav Yehuda said something that a certain shuma has to be only with kesef. It's not clear to us exactly what Rabbi Yehuda was referring to. So the Gemara brings a brisa to explain. Tanina lahad etan rabbanim. The chiddush of the Mishnah, the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda was para shehizika talis. The talis shehizika para. Ein Abraham takes a para b'talis, the talis b'para, or shaman oisam b'dami. So this Gemara, Taichin the Gemara, we'll name on that Rashi is the way Tosfos says Rashi is. Our Rashi is not so clear what Rashi means, but Tosfos had the right gersa in Rashi, and Tosfos says Pshat and Rashi is that there was a Para and a Talis, both in the same Rishus, whichever Rishus it was, and the Talis was laying in the way of the Para tripped over it, and at the same time that the para was hurt, the talus was damaged. So the bala para has to pay the value of the talus, and the bala talus has to pay the value of the damage of the para. So, einayim teitei para b'talus v'talus b'para. You might think, let them cancel each other out. So, kamash v'lon, no, shaman oisim b'dam. So, pash pshat in the Gemara, it's hard to understand, what's the case of the Gemara? What's the case? The damage to the para, let's say, was 100,000. The damage to the talis was how much? It was also 100,000, so then they cancel each other out. Elamai, the damage to the para was 100,000. The damage to the talis was 75,000. So what's the havamina that they cancel each other out? One was 100, one was 75. So of course you have to pay the extra 25. What?
They don't know what it's worth.
So if you don't know what it's worth, what's the havamina? Mean that you don't bother shutting it up? Lukiyos seems to say that it's close, so you might think you just let it go. What do you mean just let it go? It's very hard to understand the havamina. I mean. The Sma says that the havamina I mean is, even if one is 100 and one is 75, but they're equally guilty in this accident. One of them let his para go in the street, and one of them let his talis go, and whatever the rishus is when the hezek happened. And they're equally guilty. If they're equally guilty, what's the difference? Who had more damage? Who had less damage? If they're equally guilty, maybe they should both be off the hook. It's also impossible to understand. What does it mean, they're equally guilty? Even if you're guilty, you only pay damages. The Chazon Ish yes on the Sma, if he's right, that when they're both equally guilty, you shouldn't make a cheshbon. So then even if only one of them was damaged, let's say they're both guilty and nobody should pay. The whole idea here doesn't, if there's a chibman of shachim, there's no chiyuv teshlumin, so then there's no shumah. If there is a chiyuv teshlumin, of course there's a shumah. So it's very difficult to come up with just a pashup shot here in the Gemara. But I think the Maram's pshat is all the pshatim that they try to say is the Mestavra Tzuva. I don't know why Chazon Ish has a pilpul to try to explain the Gemara, why they didn't go with the Maram. The Maram says the following pshat in the Gemara. The Maram says, the Pora did damage to the Talis. Talis the damage to the para. It's pashit. That if one's $100, one's $75, you pay $25. It's not pashit. But the pshat is the following. Let's say you have a $1,000 para, and it did $100 damage. The nizik wants to take $100 from the para in Teshlumen. The bala para says, 1 minute. You owe me $75 from the talis, so you should only take $25 for Tashlumin. So here I can already hear two tzedakas. On the one side, you could say, what do you mean? The animal did $100 damage. You tevei $100 megufay. The talus damage is separate in Torah. So maybe you should get $100 worth of the par. The other Baal Din says, what do you mean? I don't owe you $100. Why should you get $100 worth of the par? I'll only give you the difference. So here, at least I can hear Tutsdadim. You hear Tutsdadim. He's saying, your para did $100 worth of damage, I want $100 from the Gufa para. And the $75, I'll give you cash for what you did damage to my damage to the para. Right, the para damaged the talus, he wants to get $100 worth of the para. And the talus damaged the para, he says, I'll give you cash, but I want $100 worth of the para, so it's a good para. So I would think that works. Kamash Malan, no. That Shomerai Sibidami, when two people damage each other, or two animals, or an animal and a talus damage each other, you're not Teveya, you shots up the value, and whatever the value is, that's how you work. Tosis asks that it's actually a sugya later, in Perek HaMiniach, Beishvorim Tamin Shechavlu Zebezeh. Two animals that got into a fight, it's exactly the same nidayim. So the Achrenim answer, that's not exactly the same. Because when two animals get into a fight, the hezek is a minute apart. Right? One animal kicks, animal one kicks animal two, and then animal two bites animal one. It happens a second after each other. So that's the sugya and daflami gimel. But our sugya is talking where it happened Bahadadi, where the two damaged each other at the same moment. So it's a separate chiddush, that shaman. As I'm speaking this out, it doesn't make sense. It's a kavah chaymer. Mandach of one was after the other. Yidushuma, it was the same time as Zichadushuma. I'm not sure I'm telling you a teretz, but the teretz doesn't make sense, does it? Again, it says a paratesis brings from Daf Lamed Gimel. Paragraph: Beis Shvarim Tam Yishchav Luzebezeh, Mishalme B'Meiser. So you do the Shuma B'damim. So Tesis asks, so it's the same thing as our Mishnah, the way the Gemara explains the Mishnah. So those who want to answer Tesis Kasha answer that no, it's different. There was one hezek after the other, and here was both in the same second. Lacher doesn't answer the Kasha. It's just the opposite. Madach and Daflam and Gimel. Oh no, that does answer the question. No, our Mishnah is first. Our Mishnah is saying that with the Omazit Bahadadi, you go by Shuma. So that's what they mean to answer. Our Mazik is when the Tezik happens simultaneously, the Mishnah says Shum Kesef, you go by Shuma. I still wouldn't know by Shnayim Shechav Luzeh B'zeh where it's a minute apart. So that's why I need the Mishnah and Lamed Gimel, which comes second. The Tezik makes sense. So Mishnah Daf Lamed Gimel tells you even if the hezek was one after the other, you still kiss each other. Why? You mean Tosfos original Kasha Rashi? Yeah, but this is meant as an additional Kasha Rashi. If Ilum Timtzalayim, you'll figure out a case that it did happen at the same time. I think Tosfos means to ask it as a second Kasha. No. I feel him the farish. I mean, when Tais says I feel him the farish, he's putting them still a minute apart. That's what you're saying, right? Tais, I feel him the farish. That one happened here, one happened there. Right. So Tais says Toshi Tosse is a good cash. Okay, but we're going to answer Rashi in a minute that it happened simultaneously. So like that, it's not good to answer. So how could Rashi say it happened simultaneously? It was just Tosfos Kasha. So that's Tosfos Kasha and Rashi. How could it happen simultaneously? It's two different Rishusim. One is only Chayiv Rishus HaRabim, and one is Chayiv only Rishus HaNizik. So the Marsha and the Ran and the Rush all answer Rashi. How could it happen simultaneously? What's the Kasha that the hezek of the parah is pater b'shus harabim, so couldn't have been b'shus harabim, and the talis is pater b'shus hamazik, so couldn't have been b'shus hamazik. So what was the case? So they all answer that it's talking that it was a chatzar hashutfim, where they both have a right to bring their animals, and only the nizik has a right to bring peiros. Only the Baal HaTalis has a right to bring peiros. So the previous daf, Rashi considered that to be the Gemara's case, which is Rishus Sarabim Lagabe Shar, and Rishus Hayachid Lagabe HaTalis. So it could be simultaneously Rishus Hayachid and Rishus Sarabim, because they both have a right to bring the Shar. Rishus Sarabim Lagabe the Nizik of the Shar. And one has a right to bring a talis, Lagabe the Nizik of the talis. It's Rishus Hayachid. It's Yabe Echetimtzim. Now Tosfos himself argued with Rashi on the Amud Aleph. Tosfos Lo Garsino, they both have a right to bring a shor. So Tosfos Lishitasa is the kasha. But Rashi Lishitasa is good, because you do have such a chetimtza, and therefore like Rashi, it's taka simultaneous, and the whole tzitzit tzai, Tosfos kasha and Rashi, and from why how do you have a case of both simultaneously? And Sai, the kasha of the Gemara and Daflami Gimel, so both of them are answered. This is the way to learn the pshat in the Gemara. Okay, turning now to yesterday's discussion. Yesterday we had a difficulty in halacha lemaisa in how we deal with shum kesef, how we deal with the real shum kesef. That is how we deal with the real nizik and mazik. And the difficulty is based on the fact that Lamaisa, it appears that the hezek is always based on the value of the damage in the marketplace. And our problem is that Bizman Hazeh, we have many situations where there is no market value for items which have value to the owner. And it's not mistaver at all that you're potter from paying. That you're potter from paying. Somebody has an old beat up becher, and it's not worth anything in the marketplace. But he knows it's his great grandfather's becher, or it has some meaning to him. And it's zero, might have zero value in the marketplace. It could be a tin becher, but to him, it's worth a lot. And l'chayre, the way we come away from the sugya. Yesterday, we seem to walk away from, especially from the words of the Nesivis, that you're part of the Gami. The Nesivis was talking a case where a person has a right, has a field in the middle of four other fields. He has a right to walk through, and someone caused them to lose that right. And the Nesivis said the right has no market value. You can't sell on the market a right to walk to your field because no one else is interested in walking to your field. So Nesida said that you're potter. It's $0 in the marketplace. And he brought a raya from the case in Ksubis, Taf Lamed, where Reuven stuck Shimon Sprud down Levi's throat, and Levi swallowed it, even though he could have coughed it up. And we say Levi is potter. Why is he potter? To him it's worth something. It's worth whatever pruta it's worth. He could swallow. If he's swallowing it, he has anah. It's a raya of Nesivis that has zero market value that you're potter. That was the Nesivis from yesterday. And it's a davar tumua. How could it be such a thing that there's a p'tur legamri? So Shlomo Zalman in Chelek Gimel, Tshuva Kuf Dalet. Agav, those of you who have the photostats, the photostat carried over to Tshuva Kuf Hei is very interesting. Shaila in the beginning of Tshuva Kuf Hei also, but with the Gehar Sugi is Tshuva Kuf Dalet, and Shlomo Zalman is not happy with this assumption that if you can't sell it, you're potter. He's unhappy with it. He says the raya from Suvis is bechlal a mistake. He says the Sivis couldn't have meant it as a raya; he just meant it as a marshal. Because if you think about it, the case in Ksubis is the reverse. We're talking where it's worth something to the Nizik and not to the rest of the world. That's what we're talking about. I have a becher, it's worth something to me. I have a couch, a used couch, it's worth something to me. But not to the rest of the world. To the nizik, it's worth something. The case where Reuven stuck Shimon's food down Levi's throat, it's not worth anything to the nizik once it's in Levi's throat. The nizik is the owner of the food. To the owner of the food, it's worth zero once it's in Levi's throat. To Levi, it's worth something. But he's potter, Taisa says, why? There it's pasha, because there to the nizik, it's already valueless. Once Reuven took Shimon's food and stuck it down Levi's throat, Reuven made Shimon's food have zero value. So Reuven has to pay. Aye, it's worth something to nizik. To the mazik, who cares? That's not our shaylon. It's b'chlal not similar to our shaylon. Hell on the nesivis, right? Because if I take your food and put it in someone's throat, I damaged your thing totally. I made it worthless. Who cares if to the nizik it's worth something? Our shayla is, who cares if to the mazik, the swallower, it's worth something? Our shayla is where it's worth something to the nizik. If it's worth zero to the nizik and you damage it, of course you're potter. That's not a question.
The whole reason why you only potter is, why would you only be chayv if there's a market value of someone else? Over here, the whole reason why it's potter is because it's only market value to the guy who's eating it. So
that's what the Nesivis says. That's the Nesivis is raya. The Reb Shlomo Zalman says no raya. It could be that it does not depend on market value. The reason you potter there is because to the nizik it has no value. If I damage something of yours that has no value to you, so I reimburse you the same no value it had before I did it. Now the question is, Elamai. So let's say we'll reject the assumptions that we made yesterday. But Elamai, what is the chiyuv? What is the schaivus? So, not so clear to me what exactly Rav Shlomo Zalman uses as the guideline. He gives an example. If someone writes a letter, you take a blank piece of paper, it's worth a pruta maybe, not worth a pruta, you write a letter to your friend. Once you finish writing the letter, it's not even a blank piece of paper anymore. It's worth nothing. It's zero market value. A piece of paper, maybe you could sell, maybe not. But a letter that you wrote to someone, you can't sell for anything. Someone else destroys the letter. So it can't be a potter. How much do you have to pay someone if you destroy his letter? Shlomo Zalman says the amount that it would take to hire someone to rewrite the letter. The Meir HaSofer, he doesn't say the amount it would take someone to think of what to write. But he says the amount that it would cost, it's a ripped up letter. If you rip up someone's letter, you have to hire someone to copy it over on a piece of paper and to make it usable, to make it back the way it was. That's what Shlomo Zalman says, Klar. That's his marshal and that's his psak. The Meir HaSofer, the amount it costs to get someone to rewrite it. You don't have to actually hire the person, because a mazik never has to actually go through a tircha, but you have to pay the amount that it would cost to hire someone to rewrite the letter. So the way I understand Rav Shlomo Zalman, he's saying is that you have to pay the replacement value of whatever it is that you're mazik. That's how I understand. Maka behema yishalmena, Chazal say yashlimena, you have to replace it. It seems to me from Shlomo Zalman, you could argue what he means, but he seems to say, let's say I have a used couch, so you have to pay the replacement value of the couch. I am going to ask you, where can I buy a used couch? All right, that's my problem. A mazik never has to be matriach within the veil. The tircha of finding the new replacement is up to the nizik. The mazik only has to pay cash. But he has to pay a value, which is the value of a used couch. How do you shut it up? If the market value for used couch is almost nothing, that's not the replacement value. It's not replacement value is not what I could sell it for. It's what how I could replace it. So I have a new suit that I wore 5 times. Someone damages it. So how do you shut up the value? Shlomo Zalman doesn't tell us how. How do you shut up? It's not what I can sell it for. Because what I can sell it for is not the replacement. I can't replace it for $50. So the question is, how do you estimate the value? So that, it's not clear from Rav Shlomo Zalman. He doesn't give us a guideline No, you see a guideline how to shut it up. It's not clear, huh? So that means the mazik could buy a new suit. He could wear it 5 times, then he gives it to me. Something like that. Now he's a different size. We're going to have a problem. But that seems to be the psak, no? He could buy a couch, he'll use it for a year, and then he'll give it to me. That's Kenza. I mean, he doesn't have to give me a new suit. That's not what he's saying.
See how much
I'll pay to keep it.
How much would a person pay to keep a suit that he wore a few times? Maybe. So you have to do a new shuma. You have to get a higher people now to shut things up. You have to do some type of a new shuma. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like from Shama Zalman. That's part of the job, is to try to figure out what the hezek was. I don't know. I once had a sichsuch between two parties over a shaytel, a very expensive shaytel, that was sold. And the first time it was washed, it got ruined. And the people who produced the shaytel were meida, that the hair was bad and it wasn't good. So they wanted all their money back. The question was, how do you adjust? Lamaisa, she wore it until the first time. It was, I don't know, I'm not an expert how many times they wear shekel till they wash it the first time. But she got something from it. Very hard to shut up. You have to try to get some of the two sides to agree to a number, and then you can talk. But, no? The Tevei assumed that they get a new one. But, I'm not right. What? It's a mekach tos, but they got something. They thought, let's say you buy a container of, you think it's orange juice, and it's water. You drink the water, so it's a mekach tos, but you're entitled to the difference in value between orange juice and water. If what you guys were, it was vinegar, you bought wine, you got some sort of zero, it's spoiled, so you get everything back. Well, the mice said they got something. So they thought they were paying a couple of $1,000 for something, it's worth a couple of $100. It's worth something, a nice shekel, till you can only wear it till the first time it's washed. So you have to deduct that, I guess. No? You have to deduct it. Every such case, every time a person has such a taina. Right, it's a hard shot. Now what's harder is things that have sentimental value. It's even more difficult. What's a picture of a great-grandfather worth? It's hard to say a market value. Some people are very sentimental. It means something to them, and some people are not. Yeah. No? What's it worth? A picture of your great-great-grandfather. I don't know. I'm the kind of person that's not worth so much to me. I don't know. A picture, I mean, it's a shame I hope to meet him, you know, like I may have asked him. I'll meet him, I'll say hello to him. Just not to me personally. I'm not, to some people, it's worth a tremendous thing. I was once at someone's house, and they showed me a picture. That was a great-great-grandfather. I don't want to say anything, but it just looked like a plain old picture of a European Shiyid. It didn't... maybe because it was someone else's great-grandfather. It didn't mean anything to me. But to that person, it meant a lot.
That's the market value of that person. Not saying your father's picture, grandfather's picture.
But I shouldn't have to pay based on that person. I have to pay. He's a sentimental person. I have to pay more.
A picture of their...
Oh, no. I think so. You have to pay based on the person. I don't know. The most I could think of shutting up is the average person, what it would be worth to him.
You're right, every single person individual. But even by the midbar, you don't shut up by the midbar, you do with the averages.
In the midbar, you don't shut up the midbar. You go by the. Yeah. See, in the midbar, we're all maida that it's an extraordinary case, it's an unusual case, so he shuts up by normal. So, same thing, if I have a person, think it's worth a lot. I don't shots up by something extraordinary. The Taka, they bring a shaft. And you see this brings a shaft. The shaft is Simenayim Beis. It's a cut in Kut Chavches. He says, somebody was masking something of someone else. And it was worth 3 zuz. The person tied it. To me, it's worth 4 zuz. I would pay 4 zuz for such a thing. To me, it's worth more. And the Gemara says such a thing in Kedushin by Ledidi Shavali. Gemara says sudra is worth a certain amount, and to Rav Kahana was worth a lot. It was the derech of Talmidei Chachamim; they went wrapped in a sudra, so it was worth more to Rav Kahana. Lididi shavali. So the shach says, even though by pinyan aben, if you say lididi shavali, it's taka worth more. It says by mazik, it's not that way. You go by market value. It's one of the Nesibis' rayas that you go by market value, not by what it's worth to you. So that shach, it's fakeret. Nesibis brings as a raya, l'shitasai, that you go by market value. It would seem sentimental things don't get marked up in value. So that, the sentimental things, Rosh Hashanah Zalma doesn't talk about clearly. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how far, I wouldn't know how to shots up if someone had a shayla. Things that have sentimental value. A person could, despite Rosh Hashanah Zalma's tshuva, a person could taina that the precious and the sivus is that it can lead, that it's potter. In used clothing, it's mistavered that Rosh Hashanah Zalma would be the norm and had a paskin. Some sentimental things, I push it, don't know. I don't know how we're gonna walk away from it. The one nekuda that I would say based on Rosh Hashanah Zalman is the following: the fact that Chazal shots things up based on market value is going to the marketplace is only a simin l'davar. It's only a simin to its value. It's not halacha l'moshe v'sinai. That market value, and that's it. The way we understood when we were asking our kashas, that everything goes by market value, finished. It's not halacha mishum sinai, you go by market value. It's a simin, it's a way of shatting things up. If you're in the midbar, it's an outsider. We know for sure the fact you can't sell it in the midbar is not an accurate simin that it's valueless. In the midbar, there just happen to be no buyers. So wherever going to the market, it's an outsider that it's not an accurate barometer of its value, then we throw out this idea that you go by market value. If market value be halacha mishum sinai, you would always go by market value. But it's not. It's only a simon, a way to measure. If you have any case where it's an outsider that this is not a good simon, so then we don't go by market value. That yisoid explains midbar. Explains used things b'zman hazeh. Used things b'zman hazeh is an ansadi. That the market value of used things is not the value to the person. It happens to be we live in a wealthy time, in a wealthy country, and people don't buy used things. But that's not a measure of its value to the person. No person, you could go and sell a suit he wore five times for $50. So if he had to sell it, he'd be stuck. He'd have to take $50 for it. But it's not the value to the person. So I think the yisoid has to be that market value is only a simin. It's not halachah shem sinai. It's only a simin ledavar. And when it's an outside that the simin is not an accurate simin, we throw it out. You're asking? So we have to do a shuma. We have to see what it's worth to people. Makim behem yishal mema. Yashli mena means you have to replace it. You have to figure out what it's worth, the replacement cost to a person. If market value doesn't determine it, we have to find some other simin. We can't find exactly, we estimate. We're stuck, we're going to have to do. Now, if you're asking to that Shlomo Zalman is saying that market value is only a sin, and you throw it out when it's not. In Cain, going back to Reb Chaim's old clair with the two stamps, where you rip up one stamp and the second stamp is worth twice as much, it would be pashut, the way I understand it, that you have to pay. You ripped up a stamp, you have to pay for it. You have this cheshbin that with market value, the person didn't lose. But market value is not halacha shem sinai, that you go by the net assets of a person. It's a way of trying to figure out what the hezek was. L'maisa, you ripped up someone's stamp. You're mazik him. You weren't mafsid him. If the figuring out you want master him, that's only a like a simon ledav. You have to pay what your hezek was. Still clear, there was no hefset. But
in the suit, you only have the hezek, you don't have the hefset.
By suit, but that's what I'm saying. By suit, you have to replace what you are master.
You only master $50 suit.
I was magic a suit that's worth much more than $50. It's just there's no market for it. There's no market price for it. Because there's no market. Where am I going to find the person to buy a suit for me? That's the truth is, I don't even know it's $50. The thrift shop sells it for $50. They don't pay $50 for it. I don't know what you can do with a whole suit. You can't get much money for it.
And you must have the guy with the stamp on, so.
Stamp.
He himself, he'd rather have two than one. Now he only has one. So he says he only got by him.
So. Rather two than one, I wouldn't agree, because I think...
He doesn't want two, but rip one up.
Someone has a long frankfurter, and you cut it in half. And the two half frankfurters are worth exactly the same as the whole frankfurter. But he wants a whole, he wants a long frankfurter. So you think you have to pay? As a roll, you cut it in half, assuming it's worth the same. I don't think you have to pay for that. You did a not nice thing to him, you have to ask him for mechila, but there's no loss, I think. All right, it becomes difficult, and... I said yesterday at the beginning of Shir that the words Shum Kesef are from the hardest words in the whole Masechta. The way of shatzing up, they're the hardest words to work with in Hilchis and Bava Kama. And I don't know. And what's about Baishas? There's a parasha of Baishas. You have to pay Baishas for a person. There's a market value for Baishas. The market value for no market value. You create your own Shuma. What the Gemara says, Tsar. Right, Nechayvel. It says to you pay tsar. How do you shut up tsar? You say what a person would pay in such a situation. There's no market for people whose hand is being cut off anyway. How much would they pay to have it cut off with pay, without paying? There's no market for it. It means Bezdin imagines a shuma. So I think what we have to come away is that the idea of shuma is that Bezdin imagines a shuma. Now, if there's a market, what do they have to imagine things for? They go out to the market and they see what it's worth. If there's a market for it, you go out to the market. If there's no market, so they have to imagine a shuma. So same thing with used things, the same thing with sentimental things. Bezdin has to imagine a shuma. How do they imagine the shuma? I don't know, it's hard to say. With used things, it's easy, because everyone has used things. With sentimental things, it becomes a very difficult way. I don't know how in the world you shots up the value of sentimental things. I don't know. If somebody has a shiva... I don't know who could say a klar psak on such a thing. So akoponim, this is the difficulty with shum kesef, and it's your side. What are you gonna do? Now, right, there are more rayas from different cases back and forth, but I don't think any of them come away with a klar kite. The only thing we come out klar is that it's not purely market value. Okay, the next sugi is the sugi of Shava Kesef, which we're going to learn on Sunday. I just want to tell you there's a riff and a rush here, the rush you should learn. You could learn whole Shas and be a Baki B'Shas. And when you walk away from it, you'll know that if a man dies and he owes money, do the children have to pay his chayv? He left the Yerusha. If he left no Yerusha, you know, the children don't have to pay. Nobody inherits deficit from a Meirish. But if the person died, he has a lot of money. Do Yarshim have to pay? If you learn through Shas, you'll know that if there's karka, they have to pay. If no karka, they don't have to pay. Because that's what it says in the Gemara all the time. That Yesayimim, including the next Gemara, they're only the chasim she'esh l'machrayis. They have to pay. You should know halacha l'maisa is not that way. There's a takana ha-ga'ina. The ga'ina made a takana, and it's brought the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, the three big poskim in the Rishayim. Takana ha-ga'ina is that if a yarshim yashim from the parents, anything, they have to pay the parents' chayv. If the chayv is less than the Yerusha, there's a net... balance, that's a positive balance. The parent died in the black. He owed $1 million and he had $2 million in the bank, or $1,001,000 in the bank. The Yarshim take $1,001,000. They must pay the chayvais that the parents left. And that's halacha lemaisa. Kfar nogu kol abatei dinim. That's the lashon of the Rambam. That's the takanas hagoinim. That Yarshim do have to pay. And I want to draw your attention to that. You won't see it in the Gemara, but you'll see it here in the Rosh. So on Sunday, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to do the whole next sugya, learn the Rosh on the sugya as well. And Mirtz Hashem, if you have time, there's a machlekes kisman, the shach, and tough your tests in the beginning on how to have chat in the Gemara, the Shabbos might argue. Those who missed Laney today, I want to remind you a couple.